Matt Barrels will join us in exactly an hour, and we'll try to get the latest on this. But it has already been a very active day for wide receivers around the league. We woke up to Terry McLaurin has signed his extension with Washington. That situation is over. Then we get word that Jacoby Myers is requesting a trade out of Las Vegas, only to hear an hour later that Amari Cooper has been signed by the Las Vegas Raiders, and the 49ers were reportedly among those who were calling and had interest. Then there's also the non-wide receiver news of the day, which is that Trey Hendrickson has ended his hold in and got a new deal for the Cincinnati Bengals and will still be a free agent at the end of the year. Why is all of this happening today? Well, because I believe cutdown day is tomorrow. Roster decisions need to be made, and people need all of the information they can have before you make roster decisions. They need to know who's available. So the fact that Juwan Jennings sat out practice again today, and the 49ers said over the weekend, oh, we expect him by week one, and Tim Kawakami's got an article, SF Standard, that's suggesting this is starting to lean much more toward holdout, and the Niners might even place him on IR almost as a threat because he's got a lot of incentives in his deal, and if he misses four games, it's going to be real hard to make those incentives. I got to think that they're working hard on this right now. We got 21 hours to go until rosters need to be set, and I would argue the 49ers need to know where they stand and where Juwan Jennings stands before they make that decision.
Yeah, and the decision will be mainly for a guy like Robbie Chosen. Do we end up keeping him? Do you keep Gage and Chosen because you're not sure about Juwan Jennings? I think when you look at the wide receiver room, you're pretty solid on your top four, and if Juwan's there, your top five, you know who you're going to keep, and then it's just a question of do you keep another guy for insurance because Juwan isn't ready to play, or he has a calf, or his contract is not right. That, I think, is where you have to have a determination from Juwan as to exactly where you stand vis-a-vis him playing football.
Who are you saying are the top four that you know are going to be on the roster?
You're going to have Pearsall and Robinson, and I think Sky Moore, and you know Ayuk doesn't count because he's on the IR.
And Robinson won't right out of the gate either.
Right.
Suspended.
Because he's suspended. So I do think you look at Gage is a guy who I think you'd like to keep because he's somebody a few years back who was productive. The other interesting one is Cowing, where I think Cowing makes the team, even though...
Oh, for sure.
I mean...
But he might be IR designated for return.
Right.
Same with, I mean, Jordan Watkins. This is kind of what I mean. Like, what you're talking out, I think, is a real challenge before tomorrow, and I don't think any of us even fully know all of the rules of, like, who counts for a roster spot and who doesn't. You're right. Ayuk's on the team, Robinson's on the team, Moore's on the team, Jennings is on the team, Pearsall's on the team, Cowing's on the team, Watkins on the team, but how and when and why and the injuries, suspensions.
And depends on when Watkins can be ready. Like if Watkins can be ready for week two, then you don't want to put him on IR because he's out for four. And so there is a lot of that where you got to determine the severity of the injury. And in Juwan's case, the willingness for him to actually come play football. If we take care of this contract and we give you a little extra or whatever happens, will you come play football in week one? Can we count on that? And that's something that they have to determine here in the next 21 hours.
Well, let's take a listen to what Kyle said, because I think we've officially reached the time where we need to start diving into every word, the tone behind it, what's actually going on here, what's being said, because we're not getting a straight story anymore. We've arrived at like, well, yeah, it's a calf. Calves are super tricky. No clue on the calf. Oh, but yeah, he'll be ready for week one, which is in 13 days. I thought you just said we had no idea. How, like, to me, buttons are being pushed. And I hate doing this because it sounds super rude, quite frankly, to be making assumptions about someone else's body and injuries. I don't think Juwan is that hurt anymore. Maybe a little bit, but I don't think that that's what this is about. I don't believe that anymore. To me, this is completely about contract, but you decide. Here's Shanahan about Juwan and week one.
It's been almost a month since Juwan last practice. Is he in jeopardy of missing week one?
I mean, if it doesn't heal, yes. But I expect him to be back. I think he should be back from it, but you never know with calves.
Did you expect Juwan's calf to be this severe when he re-aggravated it earlier in camp?
I'm not a doctor, so like I said, calves take time. You never know with calves.
That's right. They're tricky.
You never know. You never know with calves. And he's right, you know?
No, he's not.
He's totally right.
He's
you just never know with calves.
If this was anyone else's calf, they'd be talking to us about it. I mean, yeah, look, McCaffrey to a degree was a calf.
I'm not a doctor, so.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I have no idea. Should he be ready for week one? Well, yeah, he should be.
He should be.
That's where he got me. Oh, he should be. Coaches don't do that about injuries because that is putting them in a really bad spot.
Right,
that's putting a player in a really bad spot if you put a timeline on an injury, but you actually don't know if the guy's going to be ready because then fans start getting, they get disappointed. They feel like too much has been promised and then not delivered.
Yeah, and this is a case where he can't really come out and say because even if the calf is hurt a little bit, then he hasn't really been out there on the practice field to put it to the test. So even if there is a little bit of something in the calf, Shanahan doesn't know how he's responding because he's not out there practicing.
Yeah. So you combine that commentary with the reports that they could put Juwan on IR. How about that for an incentive-laden deal? How about if you miss four games, Juwan?
Tough to hit those incentives when you're only playing 13.
Meantime, Juwan is walking around the stadium on Saturday eating popcorn and fresh off of an Instagram post that essentially says, y'all messed with the wrong dude. That's where we're at.
Yep.
I don't see anything about a calf in there.
Well, he was walking around. I don't know if he was eating popcorn with a limp. I didn't really get a chance to see that exact footage, but
I don't think so.
Probably feeling pretty good. Just having some popcorn. Get your popcorn ready.
Popcorn's delicious. I wish I had a bag of popcorn right now.
Tough to do radio and eat popcorn.
It is, although, I know a lot of people are like, that's the one that you can't eat. But for me, you know, it's anything.
And peanuts.
Anything from the nut family.
Yep.
Let's go to Austin in the city. Let's go to Austin in the city. I'm trying to find a way to say it so that it doesn't turn sophomoric and stupid, and I haven't found it yet. Anyway, hi, Austin. What's going on?
Hey, no, I'm just getting off work. Listen to you guys. Hey, I got this, man, for you guys. I'm not too much worried about the receiver group because availability is the best ability. Availability is the best ability. So with that being said, I'm so glad the 49ers got a backup running back with Robertson because, you know, McCaffrey, although he's a good running back, he only had over, 1,000 yards three times in his career, and everything else has been injury prone. And with that being said, too, also, my main concern with that, with injury thing is Kittle. How long he going to stay up for us to win games? Is he going to be a blocking tight end or is he going to be a receiver tight end until he get injured? And then what? Who else we got on that blocking line for us other than Williams?
I mean, why are you specifically worried about Kittle? Just because of the obvious or you think because he's aging or what? Like, I mean, any of these guys could get hurt, Austin, any of them at any point as we know.
It's the injury and he go hard at his position. You feel me? It ain't no stopping what he do. He good blocker. He runs downfield, catches the ball. He does everything.
He's the best.
That's one of our biggest weapon on our team, and he's also injury prone. So we one injury away from losing it all.
I don't find George Kittle to be injury prone. I think that's an unfair kind of label. I don't know anybody who's played as long as him and hasn't had some injuries here and there. But George has never suffered a major injury. He has suffered bumps and bruises, missed games here or there. But he's never gone down with anything that has kept him out for an entire year or anything like that, Austin.
I'm not saying that he's keeping out for the years. The games that we need him in is that the games that we need him in for. So I'm just saying how long he going to hold up. Just like the style of play that he plays physical, just like Debo plays physical. And they miss his best ability is availability. And we need Kittle to stay available for us to do anything.
I hear you. Austin, I hear you. I don't disagree. I just think that that's life. Like, I mean, I don't know how we can sit here and say that, you know what I mean? Like, George Kittle, does he play too aggressively or whatever? Again, like, he has never suffered anything awful in his career, but I can almost guarantee you right now, yeah, he's going to get hurt on some level.
Yep.
He's going to need treatment. It's going to be painful. He probably won't play 17 games.
He never has.
Yeah, like I don't. That's welcome to the NFL.
He played 15 last year, and that includes the last game of the year that he didn't play because why bother? The season was over.
Right.
And the year before that, he played 16 of the 17, and then 15 the year before that. So George Kittle is a guy who plays through pain and some injury. He's always available, and he's always out there doing it, but to Austin's point, I would worry about George Kittle getting hurt just because of the drop-off to the next guy up on your tight end ledger.
Sure,
you don't have that. Even with Brian Robinson Jr. now, you do have somebody who has proven to be able to run the ball in the NFL behind McCaffrey. He's not as good as McCaffrey, but the drop-off from McCaffrey to Robinson is a lot smaller, in my opinion, than Kittle going down to the backup tight end.
Yeah, and just one point of clarification on McCaffrey. He's actually rushed for over 1,000 yards 4 times, not 3 times, and he has had a season affected by injury 1, 2, 3 times, and he's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 fully healthy seasons. So 6 fully healthy, 3 not fully healthy, 4 times over 1,000 yards. And each of those unhealthy seasons came right after major carries, major touches. All right, we're sponsored by Safeway. Matty Barrow's coming up top of the hour. Let's get a little deeper in to the Juwan situation coming up next. And where do you stand on it? What would you like to see the Niners do here? 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibbs.
I'm not a doctor, so.
What are you asking exactly? I'm so confused by your question.
Now, back to
Willard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Can we do a little bit of a deeper dive? I don't know if you want it to be a deep dive, Dibbs.
All right, let's do it.
I want everybody to really understand what's in play here with the Juwan Jennings thing and go to one of the staples of this radio show. If it's out in the public, there's a reason.
Yep.
That means somebody in private wants it in the public. They want us to see it. They want the particulars to see it. There's no need to tell us what's going on with Juwan Jennings. But if somebody does, it's because they want it out there. So there's what they say at the podium, and then there's what they tell reporters. Go write that. And then as soon as they write it, we go, oh, okay. So Kawakami's article, SF Standard, I find to be very, very revealing. He literally writes, there's growing frustration on both sides as Jennings continues to mispractice with a calf injury and Niners management continues to show little interest in restructuring his contract. Growing frustration on both sides. That can't just be about the calf. So all of a sudden, multiple NFL sources tell Tim that they might put Jennings on IR. That might be the way to just sort of like fix the whole thing, right? Because that way, well, we could use the roster spot. Go get another receiver and get ready for week one. Well, that's not what it's about at all. And Kawakami writes, quote, here's what I really want everyone to hear. So if somebody else in your car is talking, you tell them to shut up. This is the line. The mentioning of IR by the 49ers also, let's be clear, could be a tacit threat to the Jennings camp to try to get him back on the practice field in time to be ready for week one. That's exactly what it is. Jennings has a bunch of contract incentives this year. The money that he is sort of quote-unquote scheduled to make will undoubtedly go way down if he misses a quarter of the season because they're incentives. He won't hit them.
Yep.
He needs a certain number of yards, a certain number of touchdowns, a certain
snaps.
Number of, right,
it's all about
that.
$3 million in total, incentives.
Which is a lot for a guy who's only made 10 in his career and is only scheduled to make about 7 or 8 this year. This is a big portion of the deal. So if the Niners believe, when you pair that commentary with the fact that Kyle said, yeah, he should be ready to go by week one, Well, then why would you put him on IR? So that's why I've sort of lost all thought about a calf injury. I don't know if his calf hurts, but when I'm listening to the two sides talk and knowing that Tim has this information and somebody wants him to have this information, we're in full-blown holdout mode. This is a negotiation sensation. It is on, and TikTok.
Yeah, and I don't even know if we are in full-on negotiating period. We might be beyond that, where
standoff.
He comes out and has his Instagram post that basically says, you guys are messing with the wrong individual, and that is not by accident. You know, when you post something like that on Instagram, he's clearly frustrated because he feels like they're, quote, messing with him. And so then the Niners come out today through Tim Kawakami and basically say, yeah, IR is definitely a possibility. So if it gets to this point where you're using the media and you're having reporters write stories, or, you know, reporters are writing stories and you're putting stuff out on Instagram, we've gotten to the stalemate portion, I think, more than we are in active negotiation. I could be wrong, but the tone of this feels different than it has throughout the entire last month.
The IG post, for those of you not familiar with that, is of an artist named Offset. And the track is called Move On.
Mm.
And the quote is, you bleeped around with the wrong dude. Hope your next bleep be great.
Yeah.
That's what Juwan posted, and I don't think it's just because he likes the track.
Probably a good track. I mean,
might
Offset.
Be. I haven't heard it yet.
Migos.
It's new.
Yeah, it's fresh.
Fresh.
It's a fresh hit. But yeah, I don't think that that would be the reason. So he comes out and he puts that out there because he's feeling like he's being messed with. And he wants to, quote, move on. But the team has no real desire, I don't think, to trade Juwan Jennings.
None.
He's worth more to them than he is to another team. Because of the way he plays and the way that the 49ers run their offense, the way he blocks and how important that is for the 49ers. So even if they entertained the idea of a trade, I don't think that they would get the value back that he can provide them as a member of the Niners.
Agreed, especially at this hour, although I don't know that I would say it that way, where it's like, I don't know what he'd be worth to another team if they had acquired him in July and he had a full ramp up. Like, I think Juwan is a really good player. I think he could be valuable in a lot of spots, but there's no doubt that Juwan Jennings plays football exactly the way the 49ers want people to play football. And his attitude is exactly what they want 49er players' attitudes to be. Like, I love this dude. He's such a team guy. He's so physical. He does all the dirty work, in addition to last year proving that he can do kind of the sex appeal work too, of a wide receiver, and go for almost 1,000 yards. So I'll just agree with you in saying it doesn't even matter to me what he might be worth to another team. I think he's incredibly valuable to the 49ers, and I think that they need him on the field. It doesn't mean, oh, they can't win games without him. I don't mean that, but he does it exactly the way they want to do it, and I think he's a really good player, and you can't have too many of those. And then when you tuck it into the current situation where they are so thin, specifically at that position, who knows who's going to be back and whatnot, but they're so thin, and therefore there's not really been time for Brock Purdy to build rapport with a lot of these receivers other than Ricky Pearsall. That's the other thing that worries me. I think you can put other good receivers on the field. How many of them have chemistry with Brock? Because Juwan does. So to all of that adds up to, I think this is a big deal. I think the Niners need to get him on the field. It doesn't mean they have to be the one to blink, because as I've said all along, I don't know what he's asking for, but I think for both sides, this only and immediately goes to a bad place for everyone if he is not buttoned up, ready to go, on the roster and on the practice field this week, likely by tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow, no practice, so today was a day.
Tomorrow's cut down, but by tomorrow,
yeah,
set up.
I'm with you.
Wednesday practice.
Yeah, and then you get into, you know, a few days of shaking off the cobwebs, and then the week after that is game week, and you start to get the install, the offense installed into the game plan, and hopefully if he's able to do that, the calf doesn't flare up. And however, the calf is either hurt or not hurt, we have no idea, but just reading his IG post And looking at that and then hearing the comments from Shanahan and reading the Kawakami piece, it doesn't make me think that they're just a couple of million apart. This feels to me like a wide gulf between the two sides that has gotten it to this point where now he's blasting away on IG and, you know, stories are getting written by those in the know about, oh, you know, could be IR. There's other things the Niners could do. This feels like they're far apart to
me. Well, I get it, although what if I throw this at you? I sort of feel like it's designed to feel like they're far apart. I have no doubt that there's frustration. That happens. It happens in workplaces. It happened with Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals, and today they got it figured out. Now it's happening between Jacoby Myers and the Raiders. Will they get it figured out? I don't know. You know, like, sometimes I also feel like this is football, and you're allowed to play with frustration. I think most people play with frustration. It's a frustrating sport. You have to go out there angry and violent and aggressive and mad and all of those things. So if Juwan is ticked off at the Niners while he's playing, that's okay. That's okay. I don't think that means he will play poorly. What's not okay is him not practicing and then getting out there to play. Nothing good happens. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock is actually like midnight. You know the phrase, nothing good happens after midnight. So tomorrow at 1 o'clock, it's actually midnight. Nothing good happens after tomorrow for Juwan and the Niners. I think both sides go to a really bad place if they can't get this figured out one way or the other, even if it just means somebody throwing their tail between their legs. It might mean that. Sometimes you got to take an L. But you got to have this figured out one way or another to me in the next 48 hours.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I mean, you obviously don't have to, and we've seen these, like the Nick Bosa dragged into the first week of the season, week.
Doesn't go well, though.
Yeah, and it didn't go great. I mean, he had a better year than people want to allow for, but true. Ideally, it's not the way you would go about it, and if you're Kyle Shanahan, you want to know who you're going to have available as you get ready to play that first game of the season. And the interesting part about this is because he has been injured through all this, that they can just have him come back and it doesn't have to be a big embarrassment for him. He can just suddenly be healthy and just report, and, you know, the contract thing can go to the wayside, and well, but he then, can just be a 49er.
Yeah, but then there's no new deal. Like, if there's a new deal, that will be reported.
Of course.
If there's new deal, then Juwan...
If there's no new deal, he could still just show up and play football.
I have no doubt that he will. But that, the problem with that is that I don't think that that will go well. We've watched this. You're not wrong. Nick Bosa didn't have this awful year. He was a little disappointing, but the point is it takes time to ramp up. Like, I have every belief if they just look at Juwan and they're like, too bad, dude, we're doing nothing. See ya. Sharpie. It's over.
Right.
If they do that, I do think Juwan will show up next week, but I don't think it'll go well. I think he'll get hurt. I think he'll underperform. I don't think he'll be in correct game shape. There's a big difference. It's already late. It's already late. Next week, to me, is too late. Brandon Ayuk's season last year was doomed from the get-go, and it did all of the things. It had all of the characteristics that a lengthy and divisive negotiation has. He showed up, he was rusty, and then he got hurt. So he barely played any good football, and then he was gone. And I do not want that for Juwan Jennings. That does not sound like a good situation for the 49ers, and certainly not for him. Certainly not for him, because if he does come back with no new deal, guess what? He's a free agent at the end of the year.
Right. So he has to go out there, and if he gets no new deal, he has to go out there and ball out and make it so that the 49ers will regret not giving him more money because he'll go be a free agent. And just looking at his escalators in his contract, 50% of the snaps, he gets $1.5 million. And that, you know, if you lose four games, then it's harder to get all the way up to 50% of the snaps if you happen to sustain an injury later in the year. 60 catches, he gets money. 600 yards, he gets money. 6 touchdowns, he gets money. All three of those are $666,000. So in total, it's more than $3 million that he stands to earn by playing and playing as well as he did last year.
Yeah. Once again, here's the Shanahan take. We'll take your calls on this. If you're taking sides, Niners or Jennings, and kind of how you interpret Kyle Shanahan's commentary after the game asked about Juwan's availability for week one.
It's been almost a month since Juwan last practiced. Is he in jeopardy of missing week one?
I mean, if it doesn't heal, yes. But I expect him to be back. I think he should be back from it. But you never know with calves.
Do you expect Juwan's calf to be this severe when he re-aggravated it earlier in camp?
I'm not a doctor. So like I said, calves take time. You never know with calves.
Okay. There's another characteristic that just hit me. Kyle's so good at this.
I'm not a doctor, so.
Head coaches are so good at this. But Kyle's
yeah, you have to be.
When Kyle's answers are really short, that just sort of means, like, I can't answer your question.
Yeah.
In other words, I'm not going there. So I'm just going to give you a little this. I'm not a doctor, so.
Yeah,
that's it.
And his first answer of you know, if it heals, and then I fully expect him to be out there for week one.
Should be.
Yeah. So
that's a big. By the way, that's a big statement. Should be. Should be.
That's
healed.
Right. Well, it should be healed. In other words, it's going to be healed. It's already healed.
It is healed.
And once he gets over the reality that he's not getting any more money from us, and he gets all up in his feelings. He'll realize that his calf feels better than he thought, and he'll be out there. Yeah, he should be out there.
I get that, but see, this is to me, this is the way I look at this. I know that a lot of us, when we're watching football or talking about football, we do sort of fall into the idea that it's a reality show. And whether Americans want to agree with this or not, we all love drama. TNT has built its entire network around it, right? We know drama. And so we love it. And we look at a situation like this, and we all have opinions and take sides. And the next thing we do is, you don't want to know what I would do in that situation? And the like old grizzled parent comes out in all of us. I'd tell Juwan, you better get over it. You better get over your feelings. We got all the leverage. You better get out there, and you better play football. And guess what? You're right. The Niners can do that. But it's going to lead to bad stuff. It's not going to work. So that's why I suddenly feel a ton of urgency, which is to say that we can play the dramatic angle if you want. I'll tell you what I would do. You have to figure out with your employees, I believe, a way to sort of at least meet them halfway, keep them happy. It doesn't mean you just kowtow. It doesn't mean you do everything they want. They also need to understand your business model. It's and understand that he just signed a contract. Yes, all of that factors in. But I'm just not a believer that employees with some sort of a gripe, I don't believe they should just be flicked because you can.
I don't think that he's being flicked.
Well, I mean, he feels that way.
Well, and he's allowed to feel however he wants to feel. And if I'm the employer in this case, I'm feeling like disrespected after just last May, end of May, he comes to you and says, or you go to him and you figure it out and you get a 1-year extension and you give him a whole bunch of money, signing bonus and upfront money, and that's it. You know, we signed you. And then now a year later, you have a great year, and now you want to do this again?
Yeah, that's football.
Yeah, it's football, but
it's happening everywhere.
Also their ability to just, quote, flick him away, and right. They've got other players who can play football. So if he doesn't want to, yeah, we'll see.
Who are the other receivers right now who can play football?
Ricky Pearsall. I mean, you think that he's going to be one of the best receivers in football this year?
Well, I don't know about that, but
you think he's going to have a monster year?
I think he's
over 1,000 yards,
yep,
you said.
Yep,
so,
yep.
You know, you've got other guys who can play receiver, and you've got a quarterback who's going to be making $52 million a year next year. You've got the best play caller in football. So all these things build up to where, you know, Juwan, maybe you're not as important to us as you think that you are to yourself.
Well,
so
we'll find out.
We will find out.
Yeah,
and
we'll find out.
You know, you come back to the team 15 months later and you want another reworked contract because you had a good year. That, to me, as an employer, would be annoying.
408 on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Willard, such a bad take. The sport is already bad, and if you're frustrated, you'll not be motivated to put in any effort. Let me tell you actually why your take is bad. This is going back to the comment I made that, like, you can play football angry. If you're mad at your team, how will Juwan go out there and play? You're wrong if you think that he won't put in any effort. Like, you literally can't even do that in a football game. You can't not put in effort. You'll get bulldozed. You'll get absolutely crushed. But furthermore, if Juwan does have to go tail between legs, I think he'd actually be extra motivated. But it's not the motivation you want. He'll be motivated to play because he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. He's going to want to put up numbers. He's going to want to play really, really well. He's going to want to show the Niners how wrong they were, and then he's going to want to get a big contract somewhere else. That's what he'll be motivated to do. So there's no question in my mind about motivation. But what's the motivation? Motivated to do what? Are you motivated to play well so you can get the hell out? Or are you motivated to win football games and have a common goal with a team? And are you healthy enough to do it after not having any camp? I mean, all roads lead to what? This is the concern with Jonathan Kuminga. If he's on the Warriors this year, what's his motivation? Is the motivation to win games and have a common goal with your team? Or is the motivation to ha-ha so you can get a contract somewhere else in a year and a half?
Yeah, a little different with the receiver.
It's a little different.
You are reliant on the play call and the play and the pass being thrown, and then you can go out there and get the ha-ha. If you're Kuminga, you can have the ball in your hands and you can just decide, I'm going to do Kuminga things.
If you're on the floor.
Right. And that's the same thing with Juwan Jennings. I mean, if Juwan is not blocking as hard as he used to block because he's in his feelings, or if he's, you know, having a couple of drops because he didn't go to camp, well, those things can be fragile. Playing time can be taken away from a number of different athletes in different situations.
510 just texted in Boxer and Gerson, Work Injury Attorneys text line. Is this constant stream of drama unique to the 49ers? No, it's not. Like, that's
a lot of teams. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels that way. But again, like, I can't remember the last time the Bengals didn't have a weird off season. If you think this is dramatic, you should go read about the Dallas Cowboys right now. And how awful that situation has gotten to the point where Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons spent the entire preseason game over the weekend laying down on the trainer's table on the sideline, just basically trolling his team. And this came 24 hours after Jerry Jones went public on Michael Irvin's podcast and said, I had a deal with Micah, agreed to verbally. I called his agent to get the whole thing written up, and his agent told me to go bleep myself. That's public. So I'd actually still, in this moment, this take's going to go away soon, but in this moment, I think the 49ers and Juwan have done a really good job of actually making this look like it's not dramatic at all. I think the jig is up.
Well,
I think the jig is up, and now we're out of time, but this...
Also, it's not a high-profile thing. I mean,
no,
this is
not Micah
Henderson
Parsons.
Or Parsons, you know, or no, even Terry McLaurin.
But it's a big deal to us. It's a big deal to the team. It's a 1,000-yard receiver almost.
Right, and it's a situation where maybe it'll get resolved, maybe it won't, but I don't think that it has a ripple effect across the league. Maybe fantasy drafts, when you get to the 9th or 10th round, you're wondering if I should actually take Juwan Jennings or not, if he's going to play football or not.
They always play. Like, yeah, do you know how rare it is for
them
to,
rare.
You know, who was the...
Trent Williams did it. He sat out a whole year.
Right, and Trent is the exception because, A, he is the big dog, and B, it's different when you've made bajillions of dollars. If you've already made big contracts, it's different. It's different. You may get to a spot where you're that angry and you're just like, I don't care. I'll make my millions back on the back end. But it's very rare that guys actually miss games. And then I think it's even more rare when they do miss games where it goes well for them. You know, Le'Veon Bell or the examples we've had through the years of people who are like, all right, I'm not playing. Well, you know what? It's much more likely that you're never going to play well again than it is that this is going to suddenly turn into a financial windfall for you. So I'm with Kyle. Like, Juwan's going to play. He's going to play next week. But what do we got? What kind of Juwan? What's the health? What's the ramp up? What's all the things? You missed camp. So that, to me, is the question. I don't see Juwan Jennings sitting out till week 4. Like, no way. he's missing game
probably
checks.
Not. I mean, if he goes on IR, then right. he still gets paid. So that would be one way that the team and he, you know, if he comes back and practices, maybe he feels a little tweak in the calf and he winds up on IR. You don't know, but he has those incentives that he's going to want to hit. And, you know, 50% snap count for $1.5 million. That's enough of a motivation to get you out there to have you playing football.
Brian Robinson spoke today. We'll have a little bit of that for you coming up next as well. Matt Barrow is going to join us in less than 20 minutes. We're searching for answers on Juwan Jennings and much more. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. 888-957-9570. This is Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, but it'd be a better day if Juwan Jennings had practiced.
Yeah, it sure would have been.
But it's a good day.
Possibly.
He got a calf. He's nursing a calf.
By the way, it might be a good day, but it's not going to be as good as tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be a better day than today.
Tuesday, our number 7 ranked day of the week.
But this is going to be possibly the best Tuesday of the year.
Please explain.
Well, tomorrow is when we will be at Splash for the show, and the winner of our fantasy football draft contest will be on site, hopefully with 14 guests, filling up a private room with a private server with food and Wi-Fi.
I always wait for it.
And Willie and Dibby. And so tomorrow's going to be a ton of fun down at Splash at Thrive City. And we will do our best to bring to you the sound of the sights as this whole thing unfolds. I have no idea. I already forget. The winner was unveiled on Friday. You were traveling.
I was gone.
The winner was I think, from San Jose. It was San Jose, right?
It was Jody.
Yeah, Joey. I just want to make sure. What's that?
Jody.
Oh, Jody.
Yeah.
Jody in San Jose. All right. Do we have any intel on how many Jody will be bringing with him to Splash at Thrive City? We do not. So 14 are invited. How many will attend? We don't know.
Stay tuned.
I mean, but picks will be made, and then fun will be made of those picks, and then we eat. And then we leave.
There you go.
It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day.
Always a great day when you have a draft, and even when you're not, you know, primarily a part of it, just to see other people draft and weigh in on their picks. It's getting exciting now. It's getting close.
Have you had a draft yet?
No, I'm just in the one league.
You're just in ours.
I don't know if I'm the first one to pay, but I'm all paid up. In.
No, I paid up. I don't know if you'd be. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Lucas, are you having any problems? Good? Can we out the people who haven't paid yet?
We don't need to do that. We haven't gotten to the draft. If we get to the draft and people haven't paid, that's when we have issues. Well, but I think we're at about 10 of
have paid
15.
15?
They're going to be 16. We're still working on exactly what we're doing with that 16.
16?
There's some content involved in one of these teams.
One of the people that didn't pay already talked about it on the radio today. You could guess who.
Okay, he talks about it a lot.
Well, that's either Steiny or Guru.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm bugging me.
So it's either Steiny or Guru, and it's not Steiny. All right.
That's correct.
That's fine. And that's okay. But 10, I would say a week and a half before the draft, if you've got 10 out of 16, that's strong.
Very responsible.
That's strong.
The majority of our league.
I didn't know that we had upped it to 16. You told me we're going to 14.
I said 14 minimum. 14 minimum.
No. I'm not mad at it.
Capped at 16.
But I didn't know.
Yeah, 16.
Second round pick, Juwan Jennings.
Yeah.
If he's still there.
Dude, it's going to be really thin. Whoo, you got Dibs. Going to have to do some homework now.
Oh, the homework is the easy part.
I mean, you need, sometimes people print out those like top 300. Maybe top 400.
Maybe, right?
Maybe I have to go a little deeper now. A
little deeper. Seriously.
Wow. 16. I've never done that before. I've never been in a 16-team draft. So, A, it means you need to go deeper on your draft board. And, B, it means you need something to do in between your picks.
Seriously.
Good Lord. If you're on the swing, if you get 1 or 16, you could go on a date in between picks.
Yeah, it's going to be a long time.
Holy crap. Like, honestly, even if people are quick with their picks, if you get 31 picks in between your...
Then you go, boop, boop.
That's, yeah, boop, boop.
All right. Go do the dishes.
Hey, honey, what do you want to do now? Let's go for a run?
Something.
Jeez.
And Lucas said the 16th team may be content or something. There's something mysterious about the 16th
team.
What
are you doing? You putting a listener in there or something?
I'm going to let the morning show announce what they're doing with it, but it's going to be Shasky's team, and they're going to do something with that first pick, I believe.
Huh.
What do you mean the first pick?
In the first round. Their first pick. Shasky's team's first pick.
Yeah, why do you keep saying they?
Well, because he's crowdsourcing, so he has multiple managers.
Okay, so he's in the league.
That is the plan.
But he's doing something with his ownership.
Yeah.
And that's the 16th team.
Yes.
Sounds like it'll be a morning roast consortium of sorts, where each week a roaster probably gets a chance to manage the team.
Is the first round happening on their show?
Tentatively, again, we're going to let them announce it. That is the idea.
Just let me know where to show up.
When is the second round happening? Are we doing this in a progressive sort of a way?
Like, Sonny and Goo get the second round?
Yeah, or like, are we heading to the Golden Gate Tap Room for round four? And then, like what do we,
Yeah, bar hop our way through every round.
Actually, a pretty great idea if any of us have the time or bandwidth to do something like that.
Yep. 16 rounds, 16 different bars. That'd be pretty good.
You are giving me an idea now.
Okay.
I mean, like, for those of you, because Lucas, didn't you meet up with people for a draft over the weekend?
I did, yeah.
Was everybody there?
We went abroad. No.
You went abroad?
Yeah. We went to Canada. I was in Vancouver this weekend.
Holy. And how many of the, was it 12?
Oh, it is a 12-person league. This
and how
is
many were there?
Me and my best friends from high school. Okay. We've been doing this league. This is year 10.
All right.
We do a destination draft
amazing.
Every year.
You know what that is.
Destination sensation.
Okay.
Look at Lucas listening to the show.
Ever done that. Yeah. Seriously, he was like, I don't understand the bit. am I supposed to say something?
That's the thing you guys do.
Anyway, go ahead.
So 12-person league, and this is the one time we all get to see each other. People living all across the country, and we do this every year.
This is great. I love it.
Go to really fun places. New Orleans.
How was Vancouver?
Nashville. Beautiful.
Beautiful city,
amazing city. Most underrated city I've ever been to.
I was there 1,000 years ago, so I was like a kid. But anyway, I do remember that. Beautiful city.
Amazing city. We had so much fun. And so we've never had fewer than 7 or 8 on any trip.
Okay.
Even in the COVID year, people went to Tahoe. Maybe we shouldn't say that out loud, but
no, it's okay.
I wasn't a part of
it. Yeah, you drove.
I was responsible.
With a mask on.
We had 4 people in Vancouver.
Well, when you make when you have to get your passport,
it didn't
in order
have
to
do
it.
With that. I mean, people are having kids, people are getting married, money's tight right now
welcome,
for a lot of people.
Yeah, so. welcome to getting older.
Adulthood,
this is the way that it works. But actually, it really doesn't even matter how many people show up to your destination draft. You could do this if the people who weren't there had the patience for it. The idea of a different round in a different location, I could see this being fun in like Vegas. Except for it takes a hell of a lot longer to get to that next hotel than you think it does.
Yeah.
I do know that. But this is...
You could do it right here in the city.
Would this be fun or would it be annoying? I feel like it sounds fun, but it might be...
I'd be really annoyed.
By the time you get to like the 9th round, it's like, yeah.
Well, you're going to be wasted.
You got to make sure everybody's
in. The draft's going to take 12 hours.
That's
take
the
a while.
Point. Where do you need to be? You all went on a trip together. It would take the whole day. That's the point. That's the point. I've told the story 1,000 times, so I won't again. But the commish of our league that's all my buddies for forever, he got mad at everybody one time for trying to hurry everybody up. And he's like, where do you need to be? What's better than here? So like if you did get everybody to go and you were all in Vegas together, what's the hurry? You're in Vegas. Make a day out of it. Round 4, 4:00, Bellagio. Round 5, 5:30, MGM. I mean, people be Ubering.
Seriously.
If you don't get there in time, you get auto-picked.
Oh, my God.
Like, let's do this. I would totally do this.
Yeah, that would be, it's a lot. Like,
you would hate it.
No, I actually would like it as long as we had, like, prearranged places to meet.
Yes.
You go in the Bellagio, and the place is massive. Where are we meeting? Like,
I don't know.
Just in the lobby? Which lobby?
Wi-Fi. Free. I mean, complimentary.
Thank you. Yeah, it sounds a lot more fun than it actually would be.
If you planned it out, and I actually, like, had a spot, in 15 different places. You know, because 16th round, whatever, take a kicker and go home. But you get my point. Yeah. If you actually planned it out, I think that would be a ton of fun. Stick a laptop under your arm, a charger, and go. Can you get there?
Can you make it?
I mean, it's like turning a fantasy draft into a...
like the amazing race.
Yep.
Totally.
Scavenger hunt. All right. That sounds fun to me, but maybe I'm weird.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It might be awful, but I would like to try.
That could be fun in one of your various five or six leagues. You can do it.
Dude, there are more days this week where there is a draft than there isn't.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, if you count tomorrow, even though we're not in that league.
But not yet. I mean,
if Lucas was running tomorrow night's draft, he'd be like, yeah, you're in. Everybody's in. I don't know. Yeah, we're not in it. We're not in it, but we'll be there. So I'm counting it as a draft. I had one on Saturday morning. My sons hosted another one on Saturday afternoon. I have one on Thursday night. I have one on Monday, on Labor Day night. Ours is next Wednesday, a week from Wednesday.
Yeah, I guess and it's next Wednesday.
And then we got a summit the day after that, and then the season starts.
That's busy week. Yep.
Dog. Fantastic.
Season starts basically during the summit, in the fourth quarter of the summit.
That is correct.
The first quarter of football will begin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, perfect. Matt Barrow's going to join us, by the way, in 2 minutes. But anyway, I did not know. That is news to me that there will be 16 teams in the 95-7 The Game League. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
And you won't actually play everyone in the league, is the thing.
Yeah,
so,
you can't.
Right. Unless you go all the way through week 15 and then have a no playoff format. I don't know.
Yeah, you're not going to do that. So there's 18 weeks now, right?
Yep.
But everyone wants the playoffs done by weeks. Yeah, no, you won't play everyone. I want to make sure I play Dibley. That was just a request.
Yeah, that was more than just a request. No, that was mean-spirited is what that was.
No, it wasn't because I think I can beat you. I think that the hosts of each other, when like the co-hosts should play each other. It makes for a fun week.
Sure, sure.
What?
I'm just troubled by the unbalanced schedule nature of this league. Oh, there's so many things about it that are... I got regret already.
Dibs is out next year.
I got regret.
Dibs is quitting
again. Well, let's split us up into divisions then.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It's still unbalanced.
You still wouldn't play everybody in the league. 16 just seems a little bit foolish, but I'm in. I'm paid up, and I'm all excited for it.
Well, let's find out. Let's talk to Matt Barrows about it. River Island's guest line, one of our favorites, Matty Barrows, The Athletic, all over the 49er beat forever. Oh, before we talk to Matt, I'm supposed to tell you that you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.